praise God. We are continuing with the teaching on spiritual warfare, and we are following the words of Ephesians 6 from verse 10 and onward. Part of it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can clearly see that the source of our strength is not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Our strength in this struggle lies in no one else, but in the Lord himself. He is our strength. The arm of flesh, that will fail us. We dare not trust our own. The scripture says, rest in the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Therefore, be strong in the Lord. Cling to him and never let go. The devil can do no harm while you are wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. Our strength is in the Lord. It flows from him. He becomes our strength. So be strong in the power of his might. Every Christian must learn how he or she may draw strength from the Lord. The scriptures suggest that in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Jeremiah 30 and verse number 15. The Lord's presence is a means of delivering strength to the hungry and the thirsty. Isaiah 41 and 1 says, keep silence before him, O Israel, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Waiting, worshiping, and listening are necessary in our wrestling with the diabolical forces of the devil. Those who wait upon the Lord, they are the ones that renew their strength. They exchange their strength for his strength. Hallelujah. What a blessing, what an advantage that is. We are in a marathon, not in a 100-meter dash. Slow but steady will win this race. Might and power exudes, radiate from the presence of God. That is one of the keys to experiencing strength and ultimate victory in God. Wait on the Lord. Linger. Tarry at his feet. Turn your eyes upon him. Look to him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 27 and verse number 14. Inner strength is necessary to secure our victory in this conflict. You first win the fight inwardly before you see the outward victory. And you lose the fight because you faint. You give up on the inside of you. Remember what Proverbs 24 and 10 says? If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You give up on the inside before you see the failure and the loss on the outside. Timothy was at first advised to neglect not the gift that was in him. But later, he was instructed, he was urged to stir up the gift that was in him. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, and 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. Neglect not the gift, but stir up the gift. Hallelujah. We need to fight this good fight of faith. The enemy is fighting and wrestling with us, but we are fighting in faith and in dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures tell us, and we believe, that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You may ask, why this emphasis on the inner life and inner strength? Why? Because if the enemy succeeds in defeating you on the inside, he has overthrown you in the conflict on the outside. Inward defeat will cause you to speak words of faithlessness, hopelessness, defeat, frustration, failure, loss, and the like. But inward strength talks about faith, about hope, about victory, about life. By your words, you are justified. And by your words, you are condemned. Matthew 12 and 37. Jesus defeated the enemy using the word of faith and power. He said again and again, it is written. We also have the written word of God, which we can use. And then we speak these written words from our hearts and from an inner conviction and condition of faith and confidence. We also will have our personal victory. In Revelation 12 and 11, the pattern continues. They overcame him, or overcame the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, permit me to go on to the second piece of armor, following the first, which is the girdle of truth. Let me read that verse that speaks of the second piece of armor here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and this one, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the second piece of your armor. You cannot do without the girdle of truth, supporting and protecting the area of the loins. We talked about that last week. But today, we will speak briefly on the breastplate of righteousness. We must be standing and fighting from a position of truth. Truth is sure. Truth is solid. Truth is secure. Truth is well grounded. In Psalms 51 and 6, the Bible tells us, or reminds us, of how David said of God, that God desires truth in the inward parts. Our whole experience with God is to be supported by the principles of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Thy word is truth, and the word cannot fail, and it cannot misdirect. You stand on the word, your foundation is sure. You're protected by the truth of the word and sustained by that truth. We rest on him who is the way, the truth, and the life. His grace is able to cleanse us. His grace is able to keep us cleansed. His grace sets us free, and his grace keeps us true and holy. If we walk in the light, As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, look at this, cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. First Epistle of John, chapter 1, and verse number 9. Now let us look at this breastplate of righteousness, which is the second piece of the believer's armor. It is the breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness is worn over the shoulders and around the upper body, back and front, extending to the region just above the leathern girdle. This breastplate is made from flat pieces of circular metal, like coins, and these coin-like pieces of metal are fastened together, overlapping each other in similar fashion to the way the scales of a fish are arranged, overlapping and forming a strong defense against any hostile intrusion. The believer is required to put on this piece of equipment, similar to what today we may call a bulletproof vest. In the conflict with our vicious enemy, who is out to kill and to destroy, not just to injure us, he is out to kill and to destroy. In this conflict, it is required that we have on this breastplate of righteousness. This piece of outfit is not an optional piece for you in the battle. No, you need to enter into the battle with it. To enter into the battle without it, you do so at your own peril. To wear it is mandatory if you are to be a winner. This breastplate of righteousness takes care of an important bodily organ absolutely necessary to sustain human life. And what is that organ? It is the organ known as our heart. Once the heart ceases to function, life at its best is ended. The heart is mentioned well over 900 times in your Bible. The heart is the seat of our emotions. We are required to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. To be wounded in the heart is to be robbed of every reason for being. When a person is heartbroken and heart shattered, during that period of heartbrokenness, it's hard for them to think right, to think straight, to love and to be sympathetic. It's difficult. People suffer from a broken heart. Our services to God, our King, should be rendered from the heart. And whatever you do for God, do it from your heart and with all your heart. Giving is an example. The Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. One who, with a sense of cheerfulness in and from his heart, presents his gift to God, that one especially loved by God. Our life in God issues from where? Our head? From our lips? No, our life in God really issues from the heart, our own heart, deep down in our heart. For it is with the heart We believe unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, but with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. The heart forms a serious link in the chain of our belief system in the plan of our salvation. Believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead. Let me give you the whole scripture surrounding that. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That aspect of believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that qualifies you for heaven. Simple as it sounds. Do you believe from your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? If you believe that God raised him from the dead, that's an important link and chain and bridge in your salvation. You cannot leave your heart out of your relationship and your walk with God. Your heart is a vital link. Your heart is a connection that cannot be severed or separated in your faith, in God. The heart is vital. Don't leave your heart out of your service and your worship and your prayer and your devotion and your walk with God. Keep your heart, as we will see as we proceed further. We cannot afford to be a people who worship God only with our lips, while our heart is far removed from him. While we have a mere form of godliness, but our hearts are far from God. Lip service will not and cannot succeed with God. Our heart must be involved in the whole experience and the whole process. It is almost, let me see this again. It is about loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is the test. And loving our neighbor as ourselves. You see, man looks at the outward appearance. Man looks at you, he sees you're going to church, and you're taking a Bible with you, and you're talking church, and you are having all the appearances of a genuine Christian. But listen what the scripture says. Man looks on the outward appearance, but where does God look? God looks on the heart. Our God, according to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3, our God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Our service to God must come from the heart and from the spirit. In John 4 and 24, it says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if the enemy would disable and sabotage the communication between our heart and our God, he has won a victory. Because for our service to be acceptable to God, it must be channeled through our heart. Period. A heart of sincerity, brokenness, and contrition A heart of genuine humility, a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise. But a heart tainted or festered with iniquity and unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred and strife and malice and pride and contention, a heart that is so tainted will work against you in the conflict of spiritual warfare. The devil would like to load up all these kinds of things in your heart, and he comes to you and he lays them there because he knows that you are enjoying having that hatred in your heart. But you know, when you really come to think of it, there are people who hate other people. They dislike them to the bone. And to think that they're carrying in their heart somebody that they hate, dislike, and contemn. How can they do that, to carry such a thing in their heart? It still will pass. I enjoy hating that person. Well, that means something is wrong somewhere. Because who would want to have something unclean and unpalatable and something so distasteful being carried about in their heart? Get that person out of your spirit and out of your heart and out of your mind. Put them at the foot of the cross and don't pick them up. Leave them right there. And you go on your way rejoicing. Forgive those who trespass against you, as God has forgiven you when you trespass against him. So there are some sins mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. And none of those sins should be carried about in your heart, in your life, in your mind, in your spirit. Get rid of them. Leave them at the foot of the cross. Let the blood of Jesus wash them away and make you everywhere whole. The enemy wants you, or wants to infiltrate your heart. He wants to place in your heart these atrocious sins in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. But someone said a long time ago, and I recall this from many years back, that person said, in every heart, there is a throne and a cross. If Christ is on the throne, then the devil is on the cross. And if Christ is on the cross, then who else is on the throne but the devil? Let Christ rule in your heart. Let him sit on the throne of your heart and rule your heart from there, so that any impurity, any unsanctified thought, idea, let it be subject to Christ and let it turn around at the door of your heart, not to enter. Let Christ rule in your heart by faith. Don't allow the enemy to let you switch places in your heart. Get Satan off of the throne and establish Christ there forever. Your heart is the source of your life. While it pumps blood and oxygen, you are alive and active. When it ceases, you cease to live. As in the natural, the breastplate of righteousness protects the physical heart. In the spiritual, you must make every effort to Always keep your heart pure, unassailed by the defilement of ungodly incursions and unholy traffic of sin in and through your heart and life and soul and spirit and mind. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Keep thyself pure. Put on the whole armor of God, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Remember, it is our duty to guard our hearts with all diligence. The Holy Spirit, yes, will help us, but the Holy Spirit will cooperate with us at all times. He is a gentleman, and he would not force you to do what you have chosen to do and what you decided to do. He will not force you against your will, but he helps you if you're willing. It is the work of the devil to breach our defense. When we decide we want to follow the way of truth, the enemy will try to push us over. But we are no pushovers. Let us put on and keep on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus will keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne of his Father with exceeding joy. And he will deliver us from the tricks of the enemy, the cunning craftiness by which he lays in wait for the children of God. The devil would like to trick us, but we are leaning on Jesus. We are fighting in the name of Jesus. In fact, we are standing still on Jesus' side and let Jesus fight for us. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Jesus is able to keep us from falling, and he will permit us to have victory in his name. Beloved, the enemy is willing to destroy us, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So you put on the girdle of truth, and now tonight we're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, protecting our heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart, watch over it, and don't welcome any unwelcomed item or idea therein. Love your enemies. They may have done you wrong, but love them, and love the Lord with all your heart, so much so that there is place there for you to love no other element, so to speak, that might be contrary to God's will and God's word. I trust tonight that we have said enough to help you to understand that our Christian life and service is a life and service that stems and works from the heart of every believer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that Jesus came into the world to teach us and to show us how we must live. And he taught us that with our heart, we must worship, serve, and submit ourselves to our Father. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. Let our devotion to you, O God, be pure. And let it be true. Let it be strong. Let it be fervent. Thank you for all of these, your children, who are serving you with their whole heart, who are rendering to you the works that you desire, and they're rendering it with their hearts. When they give, when they pray, when they worship, when they serve in whatever capacity, Lord, they're doing it from the heart. We pray a blessing on them. Pray a blessing on everyone in tune at this time. And let this word today be a word of encouragement, whereby they may be willing to put on the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we want to thank you for staying with us for these 60 minutes about. And we thank God for his wonderful presence. We enjoy the singing of the youths earlier in the program. And we thank God for everyone who is making a contribution by prayer and by encouragement and by receiving what is being shared from the Word of God. Thank you for listening tonight and sticking with us. I wonder if there's anybody who would like to give the Lord even a single word or shout of praise and thanksgiving. Anybody at this time?
Thank you. Good night, Pastor.
Yes, Brother Ness.
Praise God. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the word tonight.
To God be the glory, my brother. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. God bless you and your family, Sister Innes and the children and grandchildren. God bless you all. You're an encouragement to me and to the work of God. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right. Who will be the next? Nobody else? Yes, surely. There's got to be some.
As tomorrow.